Thanks, Jenna, for
leading us in some new thoughts in Scripture. We've been traveling the Lenten road together and sometimes apart this March. You recall the start of Lent was a focus that Worship Commission brought to us on temptation. And then last week was a focus on blessing. This week, Worship Commission is looking at a focus on nourishment. And next week, we'll finish out the month with anointing. What is Lent? Some say a time of perhaps just reflection. Reflection for 40 days on a passion play that remains inspiring as we walk to Easter and a resurrection. Some say it's about giving things up. How many times have I given up chocolate for Lent? But actually, Lent is about releasing. Releasing what hurts us and turning that over to a God of grace. That's spiritual nourishment. That's what we yearn for. So what is hurting you like sin? What will you release for Lent? Me, I'm releasing impatience. I've been working on it. I need your help. Because I'm an impatient person. It blocks my spiritual nourishment. I hope it shows by Easter. Today's message in Psalms 95, an important message in three parts. It speaks first of a majestic God, then a creator God, and then King David, king of the Hebrews, speaks about a God of infinite patience. It connects to the New Testament, to the gospel of good news, and here we have Romans. Romans 5 tells of the nourishment of peace and justice. This is going to cover a lot of territory, so hold on. My wife, Mary, is a professional culinary artist by training. Her artistic cooking creations nourish the body. Her careful and gifted presentation of that food comforts one's soul. And the joy and laughter around every dinner table nourishes the spirit. Yes, nourishment is a blessing in all the many ways we experience it. But let me finish this story. When we were first married, we went to New Orleans. A culinary artist and a guy that didn't know much about good food. It is the center of magnificent Southern cooking, if you've ever been there. It's a place where thousands of people go for some of the most nourishing food the most varied food on the planet. We happen to have dined at Mr. B's. Mr. B's is a world-famous restaurant on Bourbon Street. The time we chose was Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras was right before Lent. It comes right before Lent and ends on Ash Wednesday. It's a traditional celebration. By the time we finished our gourmet dinner, the Mardi Gras party was in full swing down on the street. I'm not a prude, but the nudity, the drunkenness, the thirst for pleasure, the drive for nourishment got louder and louder around us. We were trapped in this crowd. You see, the people were raging so loudly that the police closed off both ends of the street. We were in the middle. After a full meal, I stood there and realized I was starving. I was starving in the middle of this crowd. As the music grew louder, to my shock, people around us began taking off their clothes to win a prize. Do you know what that prize is? It's a cheesy bead necklace that gets thrown off of the balconies as a reward for those below. The crowd roared in delight every time the beads came. Suddenly, I realized everyone around me was starving. There was no spiritual nourishment there, but oddly, no one thought they were hungry. You could see it in their eyes. You could hear it in their voices. It was hard for me to believe that they were all created as children of God. How about you? Was there ever a time when you just realized that your soul was starving? There's a more hopeful picture than this one in Scripture. I want you to check out the spiritual nourishment in Psalm 95 if you have a Bible with you. David's song poem here in Psalm 95 celebrates a nourishing God of majesty. You can count seven different names in this verse for majesty. Read them with me. Sing and shout to the rock of our salvation. There's one. Give thanksgiving to the presence. There's two. The one with music and song. Three, the Lord is a great God. There's five. And then this poem says, our God is a great king among gods. If you still question that kind of nourishment, there's more here. There's a God-given creation that is celebrated in this verse. It's a creation we many times forget in our daily doubt and busyness. It says, he holds the whole world in his hand. Have you ever heard that before? It's a black spiritual. He holds the world in his hands. That's where that spiritual came from. He holds the whole wide world in his hand. And then it goes on. It says, the heights of hills and the sea are his. This creator God owns it. His hands form dry land, and we are the people of his pasture. Isn't that comforting? We are the people of his pasture. How nourishing. But wait, the last part of this passage is about patience eternal. It's a setting for Lent as we walk to the Passion of Christ. It says, our dry desert lives can actually harden our hearts. There's a plea here. David says, soften your hearts. If you can but hear his voice, my version says, even as we test and try the Almighty Infinite, even for 40 years, this refers to the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, when our hearts go astray, then something happens at the very end. This passage switches from a worship to God speaking. Check it out. It says, they will know my creation, yet they have not known my ways. And the question is, do you want to enter into eternal rest? That's God speaking. There's nourishment here for a starving, thirsty soul. Let's turn to Romans 5 now. Jenna did a great job with this passage. You know Romans. It was a church under fire. It was a church under fire by Emperor Nero. And the Apostle Paul was writing to them to encourage them, to let them know there's nourishment. Paul is writing here about the ultimate gift of Jesus and the way he shows us. The way. Remember, historically, the early followers of Jesus just called themselves followers of the way. They didn't have the tag Christian. They said, we will turn our lives to follow the way of Jesus. Sometimes their way was to certain death. So what are you willing to die for? Who are you willing to die for? Paul asks that in this passage. But this passage asks another question. What about the Lenten message of justice and peace? You see, we as Anabaptists claim peace and justice, don't we? Two things that Jesus died for on the cross. So what is the true nature of peace? Where does it come from? What does it do? Read this passage again in Romans. It says, peace first comes through faith. Simple. A simple faith. But it also says we alone can't bring peace to this troubled world. Sure, we can work for peace. We do work for peace. This congregation works for peace in more ways than I've seen in congregations twice its size. We can still work for peace. We can act for peace. The sign out there says, pray for peace. We do that. But as followers of the way, we know we don't bring peace. It's the one that brings it. Christ is the peacemaker. So let's keep it simple. In the words of the old hymn,
let peace begin with me. And then let's, during this time of Lent, have a faith in something bigger than ourselves. Romans continues by saying, faith into this grace in which we stand is the hope of the glory of God. So Paul says we move from faith into grace. I believe that. And then hope in the glory of God. That's a nourishing spiritual message. Unfortunately, we don't live happily ever after when we do that. We still struggle, don't we? So Paul says, in grace, expect. My version says tribulation. Other versions say suffering. Other versions say trials. Paul says, expect trials in grace. And then we gain perseverance. Interesting word, isn't it? First a trial, then perseverance, and only through this nourishing process do we gain character. And out of character, Paul says hope. Our hope eternal. That's justice. Peace and justice. In fact, the word used here is justified through Christ, his crucifixion and blood. Justified. Have you looked up justification lately? You know what the root word is? It's justice. And it comes out of Deuteronomy. We read that a couple weeks ago. Deuteronomy defines justice as a legal term. Christ justifies us, Paul says. The term is securing a favorable verdict. Jesus giving us a favorable verdict. Isn't that interesting? And acquitting of guilt. And finally, in Deuteronomy, justifying is to vindicate, to free. The Old Testament, Christ brings to the new. Another word is redemption. Another word here is a rock of salvation. Those are powerful words. So what's redemption? Simple. It's the receiving of grace. It's our move to God. All we have to do is say, we're here. It's the song that Lynn led us in today. Grace and the nourishing gift of righteousness freely given by Christ. Let's close now. Let's think about nourishment. Physical nourishment is what we need. It has a risk, like those children of God in the streets in New Orleans. The risk is gluttony, because we can never get enough. I can't get enough of food. I thirst. I can't get enough. But spiritual nourishment here in Psalms and in Romans is different. It traces from the Old Testament to the New. Spiritual nourishment is a gift from the rock, the one we worship in majesty, creation, and eternal patience. The hope is that we soften our hearts and we not only know God's creation, we know God's ways. That's why we come here to worship. Spiritual nourishment in the New Testament is transformation. It's from grace nourishing us through trials, perseverance, character, and then finally hope. Jesus showed us that way in real life. May we learn this way anew at Mountain Community. And more importantly, will you take time to follow that way during Lent? As we approach Easter Sunday, coming in April, God demonstrates his own love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. May we rejoice in the nourishment of a God of love. Amen.